It's my house party. Time to dance, let it out, let it go. Turn it up, put on a show. Have some fun, go crazy. With my friends on the screen, turn my home into a club. Cause it's my house party.
House party.
That's right, everybody. It's time for a party. It's going to be our house party. How's it going? Welcome.
Do we need the oots?
What?
I said, do we need the oots?
Oots?
Oots.
Plenty of oots. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to... Wow, that was weird. Welcome back to Nerd Radio, your national Nerd Net Radio Direct. I'm one of your hosts, Nick. Here with me today
is Nate
in his Robot. Car driving in the car, not going very far.
You said forever, now I drive alone past your street.
All right, so hey, how's it going? What's up? Everything is going great, isn't it? So, I mean, let's start off some good news, officially like expanding our team. We have a new guy. His name is Kenneth, also goes by the name of Poetic Ninja. So he's going to be joining our team, you know, helping out with some streams, possibly, you know, doing some podcasts as well. So you'll meet him later. He literally just joined, you know, so still got to get the old schedule figured out. And hopefully more from there. I didn't tell Nate this, so he gets to find out right now. So I was on stream the other night playing, you know, random game Magic Legend. And... some guy pops on, you know, and it's like, you know, hey, you know, I listened to you guys a lot back in the day, Apex Legends Hubcast, you know, I really liked it and stuff. Oh, he's in the chat. And so we get to talking and he's like, oh yeah, I do, animation. And I'm like, really, animation? And I'm like, that's interesting. You know, he's like, yeah, little stories or skits or, you know, things like that. And I'm like, okay, well, hey, if you ever need voice actors, you know, me and Nate would definitely be down for that. And then I told him about how you did that one website or whatever where you could get paid to do voice actors. So, yeah, we're going back and forth and stuff. It was pretty nice. It was pretty nice. It was very serendipity. Because, you know, for the last couple of days I've been going on Facebook or I've been trying to find like groups of like content creators so that we could collab with them and maybe eventually have them join the team or something. And then all of a sudden, you know, this guy jumps on. So I'm like, wow, what a big coincidence. And not only that, but he wants to do stuff where we could do like voice acting. And it's like, well, me and you have been talking about doing, you know, some kind of machinima or Red versus Blue type of show. We've been talking about doing that for a while. So the fact that this guy just randomly pops on one of our streams, happens to be an old fan, and he's also doing some animation, it's like, well, fucking A, man.
It's kind of like everything coming... not everything coming together all at once, but like, you're talking about that serendipity of it. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah. Even Ken, or Poetic Ninja... even he says he's basically been like prowling around for a while now. And then all of a sudden he just saw our message and he's like, well, fuck yeah. like, I want to join a group. I want to be on a team. So far he's saying like all the right things. So as long as he's following through with it and everything, I'm like, heck yeah, let's get started. Let's get it going. Get
started. Ha.
Ha.
Get it started.
In here. Oh. So, other than the obvious that you're stuck in a car, how's your week going?
Well, week's been okay, because I know going into this weekend, I'm going to basically have the whole weekend off.
Yeah.
My schedule right now, I'm off Friday and Saturday, work Sunday, but I took Sunday off because we're going to celebrate my mom's birthday. Yeah. Until I woke up this morning and realized my company fucked me out of a lot of money. So that's, yeah.
How so?
Yeah.
Like, well, commission or something?
Yeah. So basically, to simplify it, for the month of January, our commissions are 2 months behind. So the month of January, what I earned, I was going to get paid today. And the way it had worked out with my numbers in January is I was one of the, out of 150 agents, top 20% of agents.
Dang.
So when that happens, you get basically what will add up to, if you do everything right, $1,200 to $1,400 in a bonus. In addition
Damn.
To. So my commission check was.
So that's how you can put up with a soul crushing job.
For the most part. Yeah, for the most part.
Until this but, happens. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was expecting close to about a, you know, $4,200, $4,000 check after tax.
Damn.
That's what I was expecting. And I wake up and see my account and I got a check for $2,900, which still good. Still a good amount of money.
Right. Very good.
It's like,
I'm not complaining. You know, some people don't even have that much, but you know, it's just not quite what I was expecting.
But it's just the fact of like, and it's not me going, oh, wow, my company fucking sucks. My company sucks. And I'm used to them screwing me and screwing other people. So it's like, okay, something's not right here. Who messed up?
Right.
And then I've been busy all day. I went and got a haircut, so which is partially why I'm driving, because wife didn't tell me the barbershop she put me an appointment for was a full service thing where they like straight razor, hot towel.
Do they cup the balls?
I was like, oh man, he didn't fondle me this time, so hopefully we'll go back next time.
See, they gotta build a rapport for you. Make sure you're not a narc first, and then they'll cup
exactly,
the balls.
Exactly, that's when they cup the balls.
Little.
Yeah.
Finger up the butthole, just say a little bit of a how's your father? It's one pinky in the butthole. Start with the pinky, go to the ring. Pretty soon they'll be giving you a big thumbs up.
But one thing that was funny that happened. So the shop that I went to is fairly new, but there was only two people in there, and it was. Definitely, you could see privately owned, but they had The Office playing like on Peacock.
Peacock! Peacock!
And the other guy that was there, he was like, did you guys watch the Suicide Squad trailer yet?
Oh.
And so he put it on the TV. Keep in mind, I don't have my glasses on because I'm getting a haircut, so I've got to rewatch it.
Yeah.
But he just put the trailer on, and Home Dude stopped cutting my hair, and we just watched the trailer for a minute. And I'm like, all right, this is happening. But from what I heard and what. Slight images I saw, this already looks like a contender for a high quality fucking DC movie.
Yeah.
Like that looks really
it's going to be a hard R. There's literally a shot in the trailer where the shark guy is like literally tearing a guy in half.
Yeah,
you can see ribs and like intestines and shit. And it's like, oh!
And the next scene, he was like, hand. They're like, yeah, that's your hand. He's like, hmm.
I guess that's better than the croc guy just being like, yo, motherfucker.
Go B-E-T. B-E-T.
Bacon, eggs, and tomatoes.
God, I fucking... So do you... Have you watched the Snyder Cut yet?
Not yet. Do we have HBO Max back?
We do, yes.
Oh, okay. So I'll be watching that this weekend for sure.
Okay. So I got halfway through it the other night. I've got about an hour and a half left. So, halfway through a 4 hour film, yes. So I'm probably going to finish it up like Monday if I'm gone all weekend. But I am so fucking disappointed. So disappointed that this isn't the movie we got.
Oh, okay. You turn it around on me. At first, I'm like, ooh. Yeah.
No, within the first hour of the movie, I could tell you if they would have released this as is and even split it up into two movies, this could easily be a contender for Infinity War and Endgame. Like,
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't compare them
apples to apples, but this is an epic. This is one of those that's like, hey, we took this comic run story and we're telling you to like front to back.
Especially after WandaVision, like I'm totally okay with that. Like, just from what I've heard about it, they just need to start doing this. They need to start letting people tell a fucking story rather than it's like, okay, here's all the check boxes that we need to make sure to check or whatever. So yeah, I'm totally up for that.
Yeah, but it's honestly, I don't see how people don't like it. It's an epic, and it is a full ride. It's also violent. Like, I knew it was going to be kind of R, but I mean, violent.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there's swear. I mean, there's cuss words in it too. Like, they say
they
shit,
swear. Fuck. Do they say the F word?
They do. Yeah.
Oh fuck. I don't know if I can watch that.
But I 100% recommend it. It is so fascinatingly good. And keep in mind again. Didn't see Justice League 2017. Didn't see the theatrical.
Apparently now it's referred to as the Justice League.
The Justice League? That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny where essentially what the Justice League was WB just trying to get their money's worth. Because after the tragedy struck Zack Snyder and he had to dip out or whatever, instead of really giving a shit about his vision or anything like that, they just hired the first person that they thought could make it kind of like Marvel or whatever. And of course, that's what an executive would be, or that's what an executive would do, is they'd be like, oh, well, Marvel does it this way, so just do that or whatever. Like, they don't understand nuance. They don't understand, you know, what does make for a good DC film versus a Marvel film.
Yeah. So. I'll put it to you like this to kind of clarify so I don't get roasted. When I say comparing that with Infinity War and Endgame, you can ultimately put those two movies together and it could tell the same. It could tell one story.
True. Yeah.
You could easily, and that's what they intended to do, and then that's when they split it up.
Right.
So just by the first 2 hours of the Snyder Cut, you can see that, oh, this is basically the same scale, the same epic tale that they're telling in Endgame and Infinity War, but with the it truly stands out. It's definitely a Marvel versus DC, and it would have been so cool to see this go head to head with each other. Because, and it's one of those it's unfortunate the situation with Zack Snyder. They couldn't, you know, no one could really control that at all. But I also put that on WB for making a stupid ass decision.
Right. It definitely makes you wonder. How is this going to be like a new benchmark? Is this going to be okay? Like, Zack Snyder has officially shown that, hey, if you do good, if you show people that you give a shit, if you really stick to a vision rather than micromanaging, this could be a good thing. And like, how much money would they have made if they would have put this out regularly? So I wonder, is that going to really set the stage for everything coming forward? Like, a really good example for me, at least, is The Mandalorian. When The Mandalorian came out, I feel like that really set the benchmark for WandaVision and now Falcon and the Winter Soldier. In the chat, we got Josh. How do you say that? Josh?
Josh. I thought you were about to say Josh.
Justice League. So when you get the time, look up M.Strange and Imagination Rabbit on YouTube. He's the professional that made the game that I use. Oh, okay. He's talking about something else. He uses Unity Engine as of late and a real movie called M.Doll. Interesting guy and very positive. Okay, yeah, we'll look that up.
Speaking of M. Strange, though,
Strange, your mama's strange.
What do you think about that casting for Dr. Fate?
Doctor Who?
Okay, so there's a character.
I didn't even mean to do that.
There's a character in the DC universe who has, I think, the same responsibility or same sort of echelon that Doctor Strange does in terms of like a Sorcerer Supreme.
Uh-huh. What's his name again?
Doctor Fate.
Fate.
He is in the Black Adam movie, and Pierce Brosnan was cast.
Pierce Brosnan, yeah.
Yep.
I could see that.
Which I think is...
I'm surprised there isn't like a fan mock-up already of like Pierce Brosnan in the suit or whatever.
I'm sure Boss Logic is working on it. I'm almost positive he is.
Yeah, unfortunately, but I have no idea anything about like what Dr. Fate is or whatever. So it's like I can't really... Other than Pierce Brosnan, you know, yeah, good. Give him some work.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out on a yacht somewhere from all his 007 money.
That runs out after a while. Right. Yeah, he's not done anything in a while.
Yeah, lately he's done much smaller parts. Like, he had a part in, I believe it was called The Foreigner, the Jackie Chan one, where his daughter gets big explosion or something. And then right before that, he was in one with Owen Wilson. It's on Netflix, and I'm blanking on the name, but that one's actually really good. Basically, like, this family goes on a vacation, and right in the middle of this vacation, like, this big, civil war breaks out. So essentially, they're trying to get out of town alive. And, like, it's actually really surprisingly good movie. And then, yeah, Pierce Brosnan plays a part. Spoilers, like, he dies, like, super quickly. So it's like, he's on the marketing, he's on the fucking poster, and yet, like, the scene after you meet him, he fucking dies. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, there was another actor that happened to, and I don't remember. Lawrence Fishburne. It was a movie.
Lawrence Fishburne in Predator. They use him as like a main person on the poster or whatever. You meet him and like two scenes later he dies. So I don't know if that's the one you're thinking of, but that's another.
I don't think it is, but that one will work for the
for the sake of
what we're talking about. Yeah, for the sake of it.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to go to our first music break. Everybody, hang in there. Hang in there, man. We'll be right back with some more to talk about. We're going to talk about Captain and the Winter Soldier. So if you have, you know, thoughts on the newest episode, let us know down in the comments. Otherwise, we will be right back. Let's talk a little. Let's not get caught in riddles. No need for dust to settle. Right as the buzzer sounds, Nate is actually joining us, you know, in his real habitat. Watch the Nate in his live habitat. Let's try not to spook him. Oh, he sees us.
I was muted. So I think that's my favorite part from the original series of unfortunate events is whenever Jim Carrey's looking like a T-Rex. That's so good.
Good. Oh. Oh, man. All right. Let's get back into it. Welcome to number 4, Nick and Nate. With Nick and Cassandra.
Cassandra's me. Hi.
I am Cassandra. The person formerly known as Nate.
Well, I'm actually known by many names, so Cassandra's not going to be a super new one.
Are you Jessica, Anthony, Maria, and as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter.
A little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Erica.
Do you think Mambo number 5 was just about dating a person with schizophrenia?
You're making valid points.
Let's see. Who am I dating tonight? Oh, it's Monica. Okay.
Oh, there's Jessica. Here I am.
I mean, mental health wasn't taken as serious back then. I mean,
That's a good point.
Anyways,
I just blew everyone's mind. They're like, oh my God.
It's a good thing you said you didn't blow anyone. The meaning of the universe
makes so much more sense now.
Speaking of the meaning of the universe, segue Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 2, which BTW, I've also watched episode 1 of Invincible. It's on Amazon Prime. Dear,
I didn't know it came out already.
God, dude. Like, okay, I've read the series, and like I love that it feels familiar yet not at the same time. Like, a really good example is Shut Up Dog. A really good example is in the series, the Amazon series, they have a little thing where, like, he's basically learning how to fly and he's really clumsy. Mm-hmm. But in the comic book, he kind of just literally falls into it. He falls off his roof, or he doesn't fall. He jumps off his roof and then he just starts flying around. There's it. Boom. He just knows how to fly. Whereas this actually shows the struggle of him learning to fly or whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm. I really like that. That's a good addition, you know? And then they do somewhat of a reveal, you know, reveal for normal audiences, normies, as I call them. But for anybody who's read the series, like, you know what the reveal is. They do the reveal at the end of the first episode, which actually kind of excites me because it kind of
it's going to be different from the
shows me it's going to be way different. Not only that, but like what they showed during that part, wow, just brain matter and, you know, eye sockets and oh my lord.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think we've kind of gotten to that point where we are desensitized. For a while we were desensitized by zombies. Well, So things like The Boys and things like that, like with Invincible, it's one of those, it's shock factor because we're not used to seeing superheroes or that kind of medium show that kind of. So I think that's why it's one of those. It's like, oh shit. You know, it's that reaction.
Right.
That it's we're very not exactly
true to the comic book series as well. Like this, I mean, for one, it's written by Robert Kirkman, which did the original run of comics or whatever. So, oh my God. Like after episode one, I'm just like, they're doing a similar thing from The Boys where they have the first three and then it's going to be weekly after that or whatever.
Oh, good.
So it's like,
good.
I cannot fucking wait, dude. Like just after episode one. So anyways, I got off topic, but yeah, Nate, seriously, Amazon Prime, go watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Shit, are you sucking the dick of it or? Just, okay.
Well,
okay,
yeah, I will suck its dick. Okay. I will deep throat it.
Can we?
I will fit the balls in as well, like just all.
Not to have dicks be a segue, but can Dick we talk will for a totally split? Be a segue. Can we talk for a split second about that one line from the Suicide Squad trailer with John Cena?
Yeah, he's like, if there were dicks all over this beach and I had to suck them all off, I would do for it for liberty. America.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, who would put dicks all over the beach? It's like, I don't know, these psychopaths. It's like,
I don't know, psychopaths.
It's good. So it's good to know that John Cena is okay with butt chugging and then also is okay with sucking dicks for liberty on a beach dressed in a superhero costume.
For liberty! That's what makes
my
it
God.
So fucking God. Priceless. Is like, if I had to do it for America, I would. Yeah, it definitely sets the right tone, and it's nice to see the Guardians of the Galaxy untethered by, you know, Disney and the mouse.
Yeah,
because it's essentially what we're getting. Come on, people.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's you know, that's what James Gunn's forte is, you know. With Bright, with even Belko Experiment, like, he's all for the dark, gritty, humor filled kind of nature of it.
Slither's
another one. Yeah,
love that one. Nathan Fillion and Merle fucking Dixon.
I'm your daddy.
So let's finally get to Captain the Winter Soldier. So Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier, let's get to that because I mean, so I guess now if you haven't seen it by now and you're watching us live, just, you know, go away for a little bit, come back, join us later. Otherwise, you might be listening to this later, and usually you should have seen it by then, because if you haven't, you're a twat. So, thoughts?
Do I need to take my headphones off because I didn't get a chance to watch it this morning?
Oh, man.
See, what had happened was, as I rolled out of bed, I had to get up at 9 or 9:30 and walked out the door. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But so can you talk about it without big moments or anything?
Fine,
that
I guess. So the new Captain America dies, and oh crap, sorry.
Oh, fun fact. Did not know who that was going to be. Like, I know who they said the actor was going to be, and I had seen the pictures of him, mm-hmm. but I didn't put two and two together.
Oh, okay.
So do you recognize where he's from?
I mean, vaguely. He's one of those guys who's been in a lot, but he's usually like a side character or whatever. So
do you remember 22 Jump Street? Do you remember watching that? Like, just to any extent?
Yeah.
Okay. So for one, right off the bat, he is Channing Tatum's bro college dude that they play football together with.
Okay.
That has the tank on
tracks.
His. he was also an Overlord. I didn't know that.
Oh, you're right. I fucking love that movie. Okay, yeah, he's one of the soldiers in that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's also in Black Mirror.
The one with the video game.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's him. Good fucking episode. Okay, yeah. Like I said,
so that excited me more.
He has that repertoire where he's just been in a lot of shit, so it's like I probably know who the fuck he is.
Yeah, he's like that one guy. It's like you're like that one nerdy kid from all of the like 90s and early 2000s movies that no one knew what his name was. Just he was like, oh hey, he's there,
he's doing the scene. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like him as an actor, so he did good. So what can I say without giving too much away?
So let me ask you this. Do they keep on with that same kind of formula where they're still world building like they did in the first episode?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they do.
Because that's what's been really nice from WandaVision to this is in that first fucking episode, it's like, hey, we're in four different cities and we're like different scenarios, different situations, mm-hmm. and really character and world building. So it's cool. It makes me happy that it wasn't just in the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of like, we get to know the new Captain America guy. We get to see the reaction and basically their feelings about, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier obviously have a very close relationship with Steve Rogers. So we get to a lot of the episode is about their reaction to, the government just took the shield and, you know, decided to do what the hell they wanted with it. So we get to see that reaction. And so we do have another like action scene, but like, I like this one better because it was placed in the middle of the episode versus the last episode. It was front heavy with action. And then it was just emotionally heavy for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
So if you weren't expecting that, it could kind of be a bit jarring. Whereas I feel like this is a little bit better of a formula because we got some front loaded, you know, emotions, some backloaded emotions, and then the middle of it's like, hey, let's do a cool action scene where we're chasing down some people. So
yeah,
it's very reminiscent of the episode with Bill Burr in season 2 of Mandalorian.
Are you talking about the one where they're in the caravan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is a good fucking episode. Yeah, that's a real good. Well, is that analogy, is that trade with the emotions as well? Because that's what made
episode. Just like the action scene.
Okay. And that's still good, though, because that was really good action.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, we're continuing to see this world from a very different point of view because...
From the like, B character side of view.
Exactly,
of like,
exactly. Yeah. Like, we're not... This isn't a Captain America story. This isn't, even though, obviously, there's a Captain America. He's not my... Hashtag not my Captain America. But yeah, it is interesting. And luckily we haven't gotten to the, you know, oh, there's going to be a giant blue sky beam at the end of this. We haven't gotten to that point yet. So it's like, because that's what always happened in like Thor 2 and Iron Man 3 and Captain America Civil War, or not Civil War, Winter Soldier. Like all these movies, it's like, where the fuck are the rest of them? Yeah. So luckily, we haven't gotten there yet. It's very kind of still espionage-y. We do get that one scene from the trailer where they're doing the staring contest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it has a very good, like, emotional payoff. So definitely.
That's good. Like,
yeah. So I guess that's fucking it. That's all we can fucking talk about because little dipshit didn't decide to watch it. So then let's talk a little bit. I don't think you've watched it since season one, probably, but they started what? Solar Opposites. We have season two of that.
So, no, yeah, I watched the first, what was it, four episodes
okay.
of Solar Opposites. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those where I was like, am I feeling Rick and Morty? Not really. This is kind of scratching the itch. Not really.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, watched the four, and I'm like, that was funny. I enjoyed that. But it wasn't like, oh, man, this is the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I still kind of feel that same way, you know.
Even in season two?
Yeah. But also, I think going into it with that expectation, it means that I can just shut up and enjoy it, basically.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely go on a lot more, maybe not formulaic, but they definitely go on like more, I guess, traditional, you know, because Rick and Morty is very much like, oh, here's what's happening in the entire fucking galaxy, right? Mm. Whereas this one is very much more like, okay, what's happening with these aliens in their neighborhood or whatever. So
yeah.
I like it. I think I like it way more now than I did before, for sure, because okay. Because I think the same thing happened with Mandalorian season one versus Mandalorian season two. First season, I was expecting something more serialized and ended up being episodic. So by season two, I was able to just shut up and enjoy it. And thank God, because it ended up being really good. So same thing here. Obviously, I'm not comparing it to Mandalorian because it's very hard to compare to that. But I'm just saying, like, in the general sense of I'm just able to enjoy it now. It's just, it's funny. It's got funny gags. And I'm no longer trying to make it live up to Rick and Morty because that is very fucking hard to do.
So let me ask you this. Speaking of cartoons, have you finished or watched any more Paradise PD?
No, and I never fucking will.
Why?
Because it's dumb and I hate it.
So the first season I really enjoyed. It was really dumb, but it was one of those I still appreciated the humor. We watched the first two episodes of the second season and I'm like, okay, this is dumb. Like, it was like, this is dumb. This is just, it's like, okay, we found the niche, we found the shtick we're gonna go with, and mm-hmm. let's beat it into the ground. And then the third season seems like it's wackier and crazier, and I was like, okay, guys, I think you probably went a little too far.
Yeah.
A little too far on that. But I would
I don't like their sense of humor. I have the same problem with Paradise PD that I did with Hoops. You remember Hoops?
Oh, I tried to start it and I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah, but I have the same problem with both of those shows, and that is they think that something shocking means it's funny. And it's like, no, context matters. You know what I mean? Like, you can't
What? Like, personally for me, Big Mouth. Have tried to watch Big Mouth on more than one occasion, but mm-hmm. it's like, man, this is like scratching that RJ Berger like kind of itch of development.
Yeah.
Maybe if I was in that, like, maybe if I was that age or in that bracket, I would enjoy it more. But it's like, as I've gotten older, I'm like, nah, I don't really adhere with that.
Yeah,
I mean,
so stupid.
Andrew, like, that voice makes me laugh. But
30 and 40-year-olds are making these things, and they for some reason think that something shocking or something gross equals funny.
Yeah,
and it doesn't. You know, it's the same problem with Sausage Party.
Like, oh, yeah.
Sausage Party was just like, hey, let's have an animated movie, but we get to say fuck, shit, bitch, cunt, shit, shibba-da-doo-wop, skibba-da-bee-bop to Christopher Reeves.
Yeah, Sausage Party was a rough time.
Right.
That was
there, every once in a while, you saw just like a glimmer of self-awareness, a glimmer of like actual clever joke writing, and you're like, why don't you do that the whole time? You know, and I'd say the same thing about Paradise PD, Hoops, Big Mouth or whatever. Like, all these shows, it's like every once in a while you get some clever writing, but then you also get just some really gross shock humor. And mm-hmm. it's just like, that's not funny. This isn't the 90s anymore. This isn't the 2000s or whatever. You know, like, shock humor isn't just funny because, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. You know, yeah. like back when they made like American Pie, and that was pretty much the entire point of the movie, was just like, let's have one shocking scene after another. Like mm-hmm. back then it worked because we didn't have a lot of movies and or shows like that. Whereas nowadays, so many of them are doing that, that it's just, we've become desensitized for it, which to them, they think that means they need to ramp up the shock humor. Mm-hmm. When it's like, no, the shock humor is what's ruining it. What we want is something clever. Rick and Morty can be extremely shocking at times. Like seeing somebody ripped in half, or, you know, like just really shocking and really gross or whatever. But the difference is context. Like I said before, context matters. What's happening in the story usually matches the gross or shocking nature of it. It doesn't just try to shock you, you know? And that's what I feel like most of those shows are doing. They're just trying to get a rise out of me, whether it's like, or, you know, they're just trying to get yeah. some kind of reaction out of me, rather than creating a story and then letting that dictate the gross mm-hmm. out and humor and everything like that. It's just, there's so much. It's just like, you know, oh, he's fat. Let's make a joke about him being fat 80 fucking times in an episode. Like, okay, yeah. I get it. You like to eat. Like, yeah. And that's why I can't watch that. It just, you know, I think I got through more of Hoops than I got through of Paradise PD. And I think the only reason I got through Hoops was because of Jake Johnson. Like, that was literally, that's his name, right?
Or yeah, Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson, yeah. So that's like the only reason I did it, because I liked him, you know. Mm-hmm. But admittedly, looking back on it, I'm like, yeah, it has the exact same problems that I don't like with Paradise PD. Although Hoops does more verbally than it does like, oh, I'm showing a bunch of blood and guts and stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. With that good news, let's go to another music break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about maybe some Call of Duty, maybe, you know, some Generation Z and other things we've been playing. So look forward to that. That's right. Do you feel the waves, Nate? Do you feel the waves crashing down on you?
Wave after wave.
Yeah.
Wave after wave.
After wave.
Slowly drifting.
Who's a dork? I'm a dork. Let
me go. Oh, speaking of, while you're doing your dork hair, have you heard that song, Astronaut in the Ocean?
It's yes. Like,
what do you know about? Have you heard the rock version of it?
Oh, no.
Oh my God, type this down. I'm not to do it right now, but look up no, One Last
We're
Night.
Doing it now. We're doing it live.
I just don't know if it's going to be a copyright. I don't think so.
I don't give a fuck. Okay, Astronaut in the Ocean.
Type in Our Last Night, Astronaut in the Ocean.
Our Last Night. Our Last Night. Is that with a K or an N?
N. That's with an N. That's a good question.
Good.
Oh, Framing Hanley? Yes, dude. That I listened to that so many times whenever it came out. Like that came on the other day. We were listening to, I think it was Theory of a Dead Man playlist on Spotify, and that came on and I'm like, "Oh, yes." I was like, "This is what we're jamming to." Yeah, there's some music that you get that switch. It's like, "Oh, we're going back emo." Like we're
audio's off. Okay. I'm good. I'm back.
Left Metal Circa 2005, 2009. Oh, 2 Weeks by All That Remains is one of those like classic songs that someone calling you.
Yeah.
I was like, who's playing Crash right now? Oh, speaking of Crash, are you going to, so I think the App Store's got a Crash game now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if that's,
I tried okay. it.
How is it?
It's kind of cool. It's one of those infinite runners, like, you know.
Crash, that sounds cool. Mario was a little complicated, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's just kind of basic. Like, Spider-Man has an infinite runner. The fucking Minions have an infinite runner, you know? It's like, eh. Like, I mean, so far, like, I'll play it because it's Crash. But I guess one thing I do like is that they do have kind of a story mode, so to speak, where like there's an actual end goal rather than just going on forever. There's an end goal and there's even like a boss or whatever, but then the boss itself is kind of basic because it's like he'll throw an attack down one of the lanes, so you just gotta switch back over here. So
now, like, question,
yeah, go ahead.
How's the microtransactions?
I don't know. I think you can get cosmetics. I don't know if it has lives, honestly. Let me check real fast. I don't think it does. So let's see. I will go to the... Okay, fuck me up the ass. Jesus.
Okay.
Ooh, Pet Rescue. Can I play that? Does it have a store? I guess maybe I haven't gotten that far into the... Oh, wait. Maybe it's this. Yeah, here we go. So, yeah. Cosmetic. It does look like you can get some power-ups, which, based on the fact that you need power-ups to defeat a boss, that's sort of pay to win. I mean, but it's also a single-player game, so, I mean, if you're paying your way through a fucking Crash game where you literally just run in one direction and at the end you just throw a thing at the boss, that's all you fucking do. Like, so if you're buying your way through that, just fuck off. Like, I mean... But yes, it's super basic. One of the big topics I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of like because we both play it, is Call of Duty, and yes, how I'm kind of almost done with it. We talked a little bit about this last week, and this sort of has something to do with that. If you don't remember, we talked about how Activision, you know, fired a bunch of people and then had a big bonus for Mr. Bobby Kotick or whatever. Mm. And that sort of has something to do with it. You know, like playing it just feels icky because it's like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm perpetuating a work environment that's okay with things like that. So it's part of that. But then also just... there's not a lot going on, which wouldn't be a big deal. Which it wouldn't be a big deal, I guess, if I liked the Battle Pass. The Battle Pass 1, I think what was getting me through it was, one, I didn't have to pay for it because it came with the Ultimate Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the Tier 100 skin was... the main character Stitch or whatever, but he looked like he had broken out of prison. He has a like a Hannibal Lecter, you know, face mask, and he's all bloody and stuff. So it just looks really badass. So that was that. And then like one of the guns had like a really cool skin that was pulling me through the Battle Pass. this battle pass just doesn't have that much that I'm like, oh, I want that skin right there. I want that skin. So there's just nothing pulling you through it, you know?
Well, with Modern Warfare, the skins and the characters, like I think that there was a lot of factors that went into play with Modern Warfare that made it the success that it was. Mm-hmm. Modern Warfare 2019, to specify. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah, that was not 2019. Okay. Is the characters that they were showing for the skins were like Alex, Alex from the campaign, Price. You had these classic Modern Warfare characters that people wanted the skins of, so that... And even the battle pass itself, the skins, I feel like were just better. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen any cosmetic skin for any of the operators in this game that I'm like, I have to buy that.
Yeah.
Some of the gun ones are really cool. And I like how I like Treyarch's gun skins because they really do get that animated graphic, like the whole thing with the dragon mm-hmm. on, I think it's the Krig. Mm-hmm. I love the art design they have with that kind of stuff. But I think for a lot of people, the thing that was driving the battle pass was mostly the character and operator skins. And I just definitely don't feel like so far they've showed us anything. Like the jungle ones are cool, don't get me wrong, because that commando style, right, it's cool. But hopefully this next battle pass we get more like black, if we get more original Black Ops characters, fucking put Reznov in there. Reznov, right, would be awesome.
That's I think you hit on a really good point in the fact that bringing Price, finally bringing Ghost back, even though it was like a weird version of Ghost where it wasn't really Ghost or whatever. I mean,
bring Woods back in a wheelchair. Well, I'll buy that skin.
How do you sprint? Just
I mean, they did it and they he just bitches at you until you give him the gun and then he just shoots you with it.
No, but I mean, you bring up a good point where there's plenty of Treyarch specific like classic characters that they could be, even if like Samantha is a good one. Samantha was a separate skin that you had to buy in the store. It wasn't a part of a pass or whatever. If they would have put Samantha as like the tier 50 skin of this battle pass, you bet your ass I would have been playing the absolute fuck out of it. But it was a random ass skin on the store that was $24. And it's like, I really like it because like she has Reznov or the Russian guy. She has his goggles. She has Takio's sword. Mm. So like she has a piece of each person from the original four as part of her clothing. And so that's like really cool. But still, that's $24. Like, I'm still a broke ass gamer, and like $24 when I also, you know, have other stuff to buy, it's just too much for me, you know. And having stuff like that, like the next season, we're supposed to be getting another zombies map, and if they made one of the main four in the season pass, and then the next season pass, you know, maybe they start off with Demzy, and then they do Takio, and then they do fucking Maxis, and then they do Richtofen, and they give us one character per season. That's all you need to get Treyarch, you know, people, you know,
excited. Yeah, at
the bits. You know,
for some reason they're not using their echelon of characters that they've built up in the Black Ops universe so far. They're introducing these
two new guys. We got Stitch, which he looks cool, and then they have this new guy Nepal or something like that. Is it
the big guy with the machine gun?
No, like the tier 100 is the bad guy with a mask on, and it's like this jungle mask or whatever. So it's like, I have no attachment. Like I said, at least Stitch, he had like a really cool looking, you know, he broke out of prison and it looked like a skin pulled straight from zombies. So like, that was my in. Not only am I disappointed with like Call of Duty, but I'm also super disappointed in Warzone. All we got from Warzone is we got the Alcatraz Island, but it's a completely separate game mode. They still haven't done Plunder. They've done Resurgence, and they've done Duos, and they've done Extreme, and they've done all these things. It's like, dude, this is a perfect map for Plunder. Why have they not done Plunder yet? I would have so much fun doing Plunder, but instead we're doing all these other... And so that was like the beginning of my disappointment. And then the more and more time goes on, it makes me realize they haven't done shit with Verdansk. They've opened up the stadium. Oh my God. They've opened up some subways. Whoop-de-fucking-do. They've put in a train. Like, they haven't done anything. And I'm sorry, but like, when you're a battle royale, you immediately, whether you like it or not, get compared to Fortnite. In Fortnite Season 1, the official first season, they added in 11 points of interest. Season 2 of Warzone, they added the stadium. They added 1 point of interest. And they've sort of been changing Verdansk, but not as drastically as
Fortnite. As Fortnite was. Yeah.
Or Apex. Look at them as another competitor. They add in a new map every other season, and they still revisit the old maps or whatever. So we have all these rumors about the new map that we're going to, like, there's this whole nuke event, and basically Verdansk is going to get nuked, and we're going to go to this new map. And supposedly we're never going to go back to Verdansk. At this point, I'm like, good, I'm fucking sick of it.
I think everyone is. Like, everyone's ready for a change, ready for an evolution. Like, I think that they can, if they can excel with providing a new map instead of just trying to, and because everyone else is pretty much just, we've used the same map, but we're changing things. So if they, if that's their thing where every year or year and a half, I don't know, they change. Sure, but I've fallen off of Warzone for a long time now, for a long time. I feel like ever since Cold War came out, I really haven't played much of it at all. And it's just because it's, I think it's, I don't know if it's because the whole it, of where it's hitting in the zeitgeist, but it's it's basically Fortnite in the annoying way, if that makes sense, where it's like, oh, Warzone. But also, like, the whole anti-cheat stuff, like, that makes me not want to play. To have the risk of I'm going to get creamed, giggity, and I can't even control that, like, that why does that incentivize me to play against someone who I'm just going to, the moment I spawn in, get demolished?
Yeah, just laser beamed. Like, yeah. I mean, so there's things like that. Like, and the thing is that, like, this is Activision. This is, you know, one of the biggest companies out there. And they even have a studio, Raven Software. Like, their job is Warzone. That's, like, really their only job is to focus on Warzone. So they have an entire company, or not company, they have an entire studio where their main job is just do Warzone. It'd be one thing if they were splitting up their duties between single player and multiplayer and all that. But no, they have one company for this entire game. So why are they not utilizing it better? Like, I'm not one for crunch, because obviously after a while we found out how much crunch there was at Epic, which then makes sense how they were able to keep just pumping out content. So I'm not okay with crunch, but you have to find a happy medium, because you have, even, okay, a really good example is back to Apex. Apex Season 2, the monsters, like, came into the thing, so the map itself didn't really change, but they changed enough that was going on inside the map. They added in 4 or 5 points of interest, and I guess that's the thing I'm really hammering home. I'm really hammering home that they just haven't changed that much about Verdansk, and I don't know why. There are so many opportunities where you can add in, you know, a new map, or you can add in a new segment of the map or whatever. I guess they're going for more quote unquote realistic, you know, they're trying to stay within the real world, and having an entire set of buildings pop up overnight is not quote unquote realistic, but you could still have, like, makeshift forward operating bases appear out of nowhere, or, like, there's plenty of realistic things that you can do without still being completely married to the, you know, oh, it has to be plausible or whatever. And so I mean, the biggest reason that possibly both of us are disappointed in it is I was so damn excited to spend some of my time in Warzone and some of my time in Black Ops or Blops Cow. And have it going all towards the same experience. Whereas, like, now it's just like, I don't feel like playing either one of them. Yeah. And I hate that, because it's like, I spent money on this. I got super, super invested in zombies. I love zombies. There's nothing inherently wrong with zombies. It's just that, like, yeah, I've just gotten to the point where that, on top of all the stuff going on in the real world with Activision, it's just like, do I even fucking want to play, Call of Duty anymore?
That's kind of where I've been at too, but with games in general, Call of Duty is a big one just because I haven't touched it in a while. And it's just, I haven't had the desire to, but like I talked about last week, I got Oculus Quest 2. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting some accessories for it to make it more comfortable because I couldn't really wear it with my glasses and I don't have any extra contacts. But now that I haven't been playing it semi-regularly, mm-hmm. I'm getting spoiled by that experience. And especially because I bought like Saints and Sinners. Saints and Sinners is such an immersive experience. I had one part I made myself giggle so much because first thing about it, it is difficult in the sense of it doesn't tell you where to go. It really is a survival game. Hold on, my cat's sipping on my keyboard. It's a survival game because, like, I was trying to figure out what my mission objective was. I didn't have a waypoint or anything. And so I'm walking around. I'm like, oh, she said the blue house. That's a big-ass blue house. Let's go to that.
Nice.
But at one point, there was a – I turn a corner and I hear a zombie. And what I think is the coolest part is definitely the functionality and how it works. So I'm going to demonstrate if you're audio listener, sorry.
if you're an audio listener, fuck off. Go to our YouTube.
So it's mirrored. I'm on my camera. Can't move. Ooh, buddy.
Get out of the way, you pussy.
This side right here is my left side.
Yeah, it is.
So whenever if I want to draw sidearm, if I want to draw my sidearm, I, you know, with the grabbing part. Yeah, that's a little crazy. I'll reach down to my side. And I'll grab it and I'll pull it up. If I want to grab like my shank or my screwdriver, same thing. I'll like grab on this side.
Nice. Okay.
If I want to access my inventory, because that's what's cool too, is you pick up all kinds of craftable things. Nice. And so basically, what I'll do is I'll reach behind my back and I'll pull out my backpack and then I'll grab what I have in my hand and put it in the backpack.
Nice. Yeah.
And then also two things that are really cool: the flashlight. You grab on your chest right here, you shake it so it charges the flashlight, nice, and then you can put it back. So the functionality of it's really cool, but I'm going around the corner, I hear a zombie, and I grab my knife and I look and I go, ooh, here I go killing again. And like I go running up to him. And you can kill him however really you want, but the way to make sure it's done correctly is, and what I sent you is I grab him with one hand on their head, with the other one while I'm holding, I stab it, and you actually have to drive it in and then yank it out. So again, with the Quest 2, the graphics aren't the top tier, but again, because there's no screen door effect, it looks so much better than the PSVR.
Right.
And then Beat Saber, because there's no cords, so many range of freedom. Well, first off, it's probably my favorite workout to do because I was like, my arms are still sore. But just that level of freedom I'm getting from these games is like spoiling me to my PlayStation. Like, I thought about replaying Horizon just because I saw a trailer for it recently. And I was like, man, that looks good. But I'm like, I go to pick up my PlayStation and literally nothing is scratching an itch.
Yeah.
Nothing whatsoever.
Well, I mean, if you like Horizon, then maybe you should try out Generation Zero.
Oh,
that's right. Segue, people. And it's only a better segue when you point out the fact that it's a segue. I mean, because then how would people know? No, Generation Zero, I'm loving right now, and I've told you this in a text. Generation Zero is like Far Cry and Horizon Zero Dawn had a baby. They just had nice, passionate, consensual sex together. And when the baby came out, that's what came out is Generation Zero. Like the scavenging and the light crafting or, you know, survival mechanics that it does, it feels like a Far Cry game. You know, it's not like overly like, oh, I gotta eat. Here I go eating again. But then it's like Horizon Zero Dawn, because just like in Horizon Zero Dawn, like you can shoot parts of each of the robots, and it'll have varying levels of success. But like if you shoot their targeting system, they can't target you anymore. So either they're shooting around all randomly or they they just can't find you or whatever. So then it makes it easier to like do a kill shot or whatever. And I love the atmosphere of it. The atmosphere is really cool because right now I'm playing it on skirmish, which is basically medium. And they can definitely, if you just kind of let yourself out in the open and just like, huh, like if you treat it like a shooter, you're probably not going to like, you're not going to last that long. If you play it on adventure, I think you could probably play it more like a traditional shooter, but there is no like regenerating health no matter what, no matter what difficulty you have. So you're relying on, okay, I have to, you know. Even like what I do like is even if I'm down to literally like 5 health, it will still not like regenerate up to like 25 or something like that, which a lot of games do. They'll get you down to your last 5%, but then they'll regenerate 20 or something. So I like the fact that like I could literally have like 1 health left, and if I don't have a med pack, like I'm screwed if I get into another encounter, which really makes you play the game differently. It's much more stealth based, and since I know how much you love playing Far Cry stealthy, like this is a game for you, dude.
Well, that's why. So I'm watching gameplay. Game. Yeah, I'm watching gameplay right now. At its core, what would you say this? Because I'm getting a lot of DayZ vibes.
No. I mean, I haven't really played DayZ, but DayZ is much more of a survival, like crafting type of game.
Well, this game itself, like, what is it at its core? Is it a co-op open world game? Like, what?
Yeah, I would say at its core, I would say it's a co-op open world stealth game. Because, okay, once again, you could go in guns blazing, but you better be heavily equipped. Like, you better have, like, you know, 200.
Yeah, these people are going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, because they're getting chased by mechs with, right, a shotgun.
Yeah, you have. Right now, the main island that I'm on, I haven't gotten to, like, the really big island. So the main island I'm on, the most I encounter are kind of these dog-type characters, and they get around, like, super fast. So you have the dog character that's orange. You have a dog character that's, like, a dark green, and so it's a little tougher. And then you have the mechs, and the mechs, you know, those are super, their weak spots a little bit like more well hidden. Whereas like the dogs, they have basically like a fuel tank on top of them. So I can just get my sniper and.
So is this game designed to be co-op, or is it?
Oh, yeah.
You can play it single player.
Oh, yeah. You can play it single player as well.
But it's designed to be co-op focused.
I don't know.
Because Horizon.
I've been playing through it solo.
Okay.
And I mean, the main thing is that the only thing that would change if you played it with me is that like we could coordinate, you know, so there's like 5 of them. It's like, okay, synchronize our shots. 1, 2, 3. And then we only have 3 more to take care of. You know what I mean?
Well, because with Horizon, I mean, that's solely we're trying to tell you the story. Like it's a focus game. Whereas the gameplay I was watching with this gave me DayZ vibes because it gave me that open world sandbox. Yes. Like kind of. So.
Yeah. Okay. So on that, yeah, there is a story, but it's very much secondary.
Just playing the world.
Yeah, just you're exploring the world. You're just having fun.
That makes sense.
Like I am definitely one of those go everywhere type of person. If my objective's over here, I'm gonna check all over here first. So then, like, I have like a shit ton of ammo, and it's because I've taken the time to go to every single point of interest, every single car. That's another thing. Like, you can go to up to a car and you can open every single door. You can open up the trunk. You can open up the hood. You can get scrap from inside the hood, or like an explosive barrel from inside the hood. Like there's so much to this game. And yeah, if you want to set up traps, like there is this one time. So there was like a group of four or five of the little dog robots or whatever. So I set up 2 exploding barrels, and then I threw a radio at them. So the radio started playing music, whatever. They came by, boom, took out all 4 of them at the same time. So then I just had to worry about that one character. So it's like moments like that, extremely satisfying when you're able to like pull something off like that.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. What's the MSRP on it? I mean, I know, well, I'm not going to say that a lot on air.
MSRP?
What's the price tag?
Oh, right now, until the 31st, so if you're listening to this later, right now it's only like $13, so definitely worth the price of admission, because I think after that it goes all the way up to $29.99. I would still say it's worth it at that, but getting on a sale definitely was easier, because obviously then if I didn't like it, you know, I ended up getting all of the DLC for it. So I ended up spending just as much, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of store, I did want to bring this up because I wasn't aware of this because I didn't have it. One thing that's cool about the Oculus store. So a lot of games you can get like crossplay in between the Oculus Rift with, you know, the connection and the Quest. So Rift games, you obviously have to have a higher end PC to run it, and you can do it virtually. But the problem I was having with store right off the bat is the games are all full price. Like the Saints and Sinners was $40. Yeah. Beat Saber was $40. But what's cool about the Oculus store, you do have a return window. So if you download the app and have less than 2 hours in it and have proof of purchase, obviously, you have a 14-day return policy.
Nice.
So that is something that's kind of cool that helps alleviate the... Because some games you can get on like a 25% sale, but the sales they have on PlayStation Store versus this are like night and day. I mean, they discount so many games on the PSN store. But that's cool, especially at that price point, 13. That's kind of what I was curious about, is like right now, what is the barrier to entry? And I feel like that would be enough for some if that's something they had their eyes on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely a good time. What I'm excited about, is It Takes Two came out today. So that one's, you know, the weird co-op. And they did No Way Out and Two Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so far the reviews are fucking amazing as far as... Let's
get into it, okay? Metacritic. We'll do a review roundup. Metacritic.
As far as I can see, the reviews on it are fucking awesome. Yeah, it's sitting at a 90.
That's good.
Let's break it down. Wow. Okay, how is it a 90 if out of 27 critic reviews, they're all positive? Oh, I guess it's just because... Okay, so we got like a 100, 93, 90, 90, 87, 75. So I guess that's how we get 90, is that there's a bunch of dipshits. I'm just kidding. No, but like so far I've seen nothing bad about it, and literally no critics are rating it below... I want to say you have to rate it below 70. So even if it was a 69, giggity, if that's what would make it mixed rather than positive. So literally everybody's positive about this game. So
let me ask you a quick question.
No, it has to be long.
Because I'm going through YouTube. I was going to see, you know, what new has popped up. How do you feel about the Scott Pilgrim re-release?
What?
Do you not know anything about that?
I mean, I saw there was a trailer for it. But
for the 10-year anniversary for Scott Pilgrim, they're re-releasing it in Dolby Atmos. And I think IMAX, they're re-releasing it to theaters.
Oh, I didn't realize. Like, that's what was so confusing about the trailer. I was like,
froze on that, which is really funny.
What?
All I see is...
okay. Anyways, that's what was... Yeah, that was so confusing about that trailer. I'm like, okay, so it's the 10-year anniversary. I guess I didn't see the part that
yeah, they're re-releasing it to theaters.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Would you go see it again in theaters? Would you pay money to see it again?
I don't know. I mean, I love it. It's one of the best movies of all time about, you know, nerdy stuff. So, but yeah, I don't think I would go see it. I mean, although I don't know if there's a movie that I would go see in movies again, honestly. Like, even if like, oh, go see a special edition of Star Wars A New Hope and it has extra scenes in it, you know, with super HD or something like that. I wouldn't even go see one.
See the only one I could say I confidently, if they said, hey, we're releasing the Snyder Cut into IMAX theaters, I would go see it.
Yeah, I think something like that, but only because it wasn't originally in theaters. So like I would feel maybe not obligated, quote unquote, but I would feel like, okay, I want to support this so I can show the industry basically that, yes, make more of this.
And
so
it's probably a better view.
Something like that, I think I would agree to that, yeah.
It's probably a better viewing experience too. I'm sure you've seen it, but to make sure you're aware, you're in the IMAX ratio the whole time. So you do get used to it. 2.5 hours in, I stopped noticing it, but but yeah, I just seen that on YouTube. I was like, I think we will, because I just talked my wife into it. I was like, hey, trying to get you to
we will
go see Rock You. might go see it in theaters, because I was like, hey, I've been trying to get you to watch this movie for a while. Could I get you to see it if it's coming to theaters again? She was like,
which one? Sorry.
Scott Pilgrim.
Oh.
Yeah. She's never seen Scott Pilgrim. So see, I think guess we
that would
will.
Be the other thing. That would be the other thing if you know, Ashley gave her rat's ass. But if Ashley hadn't seen it or something like that, and we wanted something, I guess. I don't know. I think going and seeing a movie like this with a group is the only way to do it. Because if you either do it by yourself or just with your partner, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know if that's worth your money, because literally right now, I think I can go on to Netflix and I can watch it. Granted, what? It's not a big screen. It's not. I'm checking.
Which one?
Scott Pilgrim. I think it's still on there unless it, you know, rotated out.
I think it is. I know I have it on. It is
right there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've got it on Blu-ray. I could watch it if I wanted to. So why in God's name would I? I think if they're going to put it out to theaters, take it off of streaming services just for a little bit. You know, it might be a scummy thing to do, I will admit, but still, at the same time, it's like, why in God's name would I pay money? A good example: Raya. We saw Raya the Last Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Really. It looked good. It looked
really good movie. But we saw that. Here at our house, Ashley, actually, very sweet of her, offered like, hey, why don't you just go with Zoe Ann, you know? And I'm like, no, maybe. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, no, let's just stay here, you know? I mean, that way we can all see it and we can be comfortable. You know what I mean? You know, that's one reason I even give a rat's ass about HBO Max. We got Kong coming in 4 days. Then we got Mortal Kombat next month. So it's like...
You know what's disappointing is they don't have the Godzilla 2014 on there, because I watched Kong for the first time two weeks ago. Kong
Skull Island, yeah.
Yeah, Kong Skull Island. Mm-hmm. And because I haven't seen King of Monsters yet, I was going to jump in and watch that. But I'm like, okay, so that was a prequel. I kind of want to watch like Godzilla now, the first one. So I've got to rent it.
King of Monsters is a prequel?
No, Kong is.
Oh, God.
But because it's been so long since I've seen Godzilla,
right.
I was like, instead of going from Kong to Godzilla King of Monsters, it's like...
You want that Taylor Johnson. Rewatch. You just want to see that Taylor Johnson.
Yes, I want that Quicksilver. Quit. Yes. And I want to see Bryan Cranston, Wanda. Actually.
You just want to imagine
that is another
brother
one.
And sister fucking each other in an alternate
universe. Okay, now we're back to it. Yep, now we're back to it. There we go. This is the Nick and Nett Show, everyone. And on that note...
That's one thing I always found funny about when they got, because I want to say it was after. Yo, Dunks, what's up? Yeah, perfect timing, bro. That's one thing I always thought was funny is that they got, I think Godzilla was either right before or right after Age of Ultron. I can't remember.
It came out before, because it came out in 2014.
Oh, okay, so yeah. So it was right before.
Oh, yeah, it was, Aaron Taylor just, I forget that she's the wife.
Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen is his wife.
Well, that's how she told in an interview, like, they were on set with that, and Joss Whedon was like, hey, I want you guys to be a part of it, so.
Mm-hmm.
But that is funny, they went from husband and wife to brother and sister in a year.
Well, it's just like Dexter, the guy who played Dexter, and then the guy who played his sister ended up being in a relationship together.
Yeah.
Which is just weird. I mean, obviously they're
even in the family.
They're not family in real life, but still it's like you're playing each other's siblings, and that makes you think to yourself, you know what? I like you as a person. I want to stick my penis in you.
Yep, that's the key to our relationship right there.
Right? As long as my penis feels good inside you, why not?
Jesus Christ, I feel like, yeah, this is going places.
We're getting going, man. We're getting deep, deep and dirty.
Nope. Don't like that.
The worst part about the Dexter thing is that they ended up breaking up and still doing like three or four seasons together, one of which she ends up going to a therapist to find out that she's actually in love with her brother, which once again, they're not real brother and sister in the series. Dexter is an adopted brother, but still for your entire life, this person's been your brother and you go to a therapist to find out that you actually love this person. Meanwhile, in real life, you've been broken up with this person for a couple of years and you have to like that's awkward as fuck.
Yeah. That is a series of unfortunate events is what we call that.
Yeah. I lost my chain of thought. If it's not, you know, incest porn or weird stuff, I lose track of what I was talking about.
Dunks, you came in at the best time the entire show.
And on that note, let's go ahead and end it for the day. All right, we want to end you on something nice and wholesome, you know, the type of like things you can listen to in front of your kiddos. Hi, Ethan.
Teach them all about incest and sister fucking. Yes.
Old people fucking too. Thank you, Dunks.
There you go. Yeah.
Alrighty. So thank you guys for joining us for another good ass episode of Nick and Nate Show. I was Nick.
And I was Nate.
And you guys keep fucking that chicken.
Or them old people.